Guys, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be picking it up in chapter 5, verse 21, and we're only going down into chapter 6, down to verse 2, okay? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll be picking it up in verse 21, and then we'll be jumping into chapter 6, but only the first two verses. We're really just kind of continuing where we left off last week, but I think the Lord just has some wonderful things He wants to just continue to minister to us and encourage us in. So in verse 21 of chapter 5, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, 'In an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you.'" We almost finished up chapter 5. We looked at Paul's last motivation for ministry last week. And here's what he knew. He knew that he had a commission for God. Paul, like all Christians, had been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ, sharing a message from our great King. And the message is reconciliation with God through Jesus' death on the cross. In verse 18 through 19 last week, we learned we've been given this wonderful ministry to share with the lost world, the ministry of reconciliation, which is simply this: we've gone from being enemies with God to have now peace with God because we've been reconciled to God through our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Now we have a blessing to tell people and share with a lost world this wonderful ministry. Okay, the church needs to stay focused on what we're to be about, and that's to share the Lord Jesus Christ. People get saved. They get covered with the blood of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in them. They get new spiritual DNA. And then we as a church gather around the person of Christ, dive into His Word, and we start becoming disciples of Christ. Folks who are going to deny themselves and pick up their cross and follow in Jesus. We keep it simple. Let's keep it about Jesus. And you may be asking yourself, well, who would listen to me? Well, it's not about who would listen to us. It's about that we've been commissioned from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He calls us His ambassadors. We are a bunch of nobodies telling folks about the somebody. Therefore, Paul said in verse 20 of last week, we're ambassadors for Christ. Paul sees that he serves in a foreign land as representative of a king. The king has a message, and Paul is delivering the message that the king has. And he said he's pleading, like God is pleading through us, to get this message out. And let's not forget there's a war coming, and we have ambassadors been given a special message, and let's keep the message we've been given. Let's keep it simple. The message for the church today is one of reconciliation. God in Christ on the cross reconciled the world to Himself and willing to save all who trust His Son. Ours is not a message of social reform, though when people get saved and the Holy Spirit, if we just talked about, comes to live inside of them, they'll be radically different, and they'll look at things socially different at that point if they're drawing near to the Lord. Which brings us back to our message. Our message is a message of spiritual regeneration. We represent Christ, and we invite the lost to receive Him. It's a privilege, and it's a responsibility. Someone once said this to the church: our mission is only temporary. As ambassadors, we can be recalled to our Sovereign's presence at any moment. And when His long-suffering with those who still reject Him is over, He will Himself will come back. Then the message will be reconciled to God will no longer be proclaimed because it will be too late. So we should avail ourselves today of the high privilege we have to serve Him as ambassadors to a lost world. We're only given this privilege for a season. Every day the sun goes down is one day closer. Either we are going to go home to be with the Lord, or the Lord's going to come back and get His church. It's only for a season that we're called to do this. And man, if we look at what's going on within our country, if we look at what's going on with the world, boy, we really need to get focused. We need to get focused. The church is very distracted with a lot of other... In North America, the church is distracted. Okay? We're going to be the simple church that just shares Jesus with people. At our jobs, or in our homes. I mean, one of the biggest burdens I have as a father is my kids would know the Lord, but then they would also walk with the Lord. Be praying for my kids and be praying for everybody's kids. So let's look at verse 21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, before we move on to chapter 6, let's look how God made reconciliation possible. We've been talking about reconciliation, but how did He make it possible? Paul said in verse 18, "Now all things are for God, who reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and given us this wonderful ministry of reconciliation." Now in verse 21, Paul's going to explain, okay, how this works. And it's not really complicated, okay? He says it right here in verse 21, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Our sins were placed on Jesus, and let's understand this. Sin was not in Jesus. That's not what Paul said. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, made it very clear. He did not say Jesus was made to be a sinner. Jesus never became a sinner, but Jesus did become sin for us. Spurgeon said this about our sweet Jesus: "Christ was not guilty and could not be made guilty, but He was treated as if He were guilty, because He willed to stand in the place of the guilty. Yeah, He was only mistreated as a sinner, but He was treated as if it had been sin itself in the abstract." This is absolutely utterance. The sinless one was made to be sin. Guys, let's never forget how much God loves us. Jesus and the Holy Spirit loves us as well. He made Him who knew no sin to be for us. They were all together on the cross, working together, offering reconciliation to sinful men. Our hearts should melt by the love of God that has been poured on us from the cross. You know, we read scriptures like this right here, but I don't think they grab our hearts like they used to. Okay, that our Lord Jesus Christ got upon a cross and the Lord placed sin. We look in the Old Testament. Remember the lamb without a blemish, the perfect lamb? You remember when the priest in the Old Testament had to lay their hands upon it? They were transferring their guilt to that lamb. Our Lord Jesus, the guiltless one, took our sin for us. It says in John 1:29, the next day, John saw Jesus toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Acts 8, verse 32, the place in Scripture which he read, "He was led as a sheep to slaughter and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he not opened his mouth." What about Revelation 5:12 saying, "With a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing." Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their own lives to death." Our great King, our Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Our Lord Jesus. We are to be stand utterly amazed in what God chose to do so we could be in relationship with Him. He chose the cross. The Holy Spirit was working, God was working, and Jesus was working. All three of them were working together for this one goal, that man would be reconciled. There was an exchange made upon the cross. The result of our sinlessness, the result of our sin with Jesus on the cross, that we might become righteousness of God in Him. The exchange made on the cross was this: Jesus took our sin. Okay, just very simple. Jesus took our sin. In exchange, He gives us righteousness. Okay? Super simple. Now I want to ask you a question. And this is a heart question. This is not a head question. This is not an intellectual question. And this is a question I've been asking myself all week, especially this morning. When was the last time I really just sat utterly amazed about how the exchange was made? That I've been given, I've been called not guilty. I've been justified because of Christ. I mean, think about that, guys. That should absolutely melt us to the core of our being. The exchange. God placed sin on the Lamb without a blemish, and in exchange, when we come to saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, not guilty. Righteousness. And not only that, I mean, come on. Think of everything else. Not only are we made clean, but think of what He gives us in the now and in the future. We have this wonderful inheritance because of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we talked a lot about these bodies going to be resurrected. We're going to be given new resurrected bodies. One day we're going to go home. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to celebrate eternity. We're going to celebrate the Lamb that was slain for eternity. God's going to have different responsibilities for us in the future. Is that not something? I mean, what is really to get excited about this world? Craig and I were talking the other day, and we were just talking about how radical things have changed technology-wise until now. And I remember when there was no such thing as a cordless phone. I remember pay phones. I remember the first microwave we've got. It was about the size of this table. I remember the first VCR. You guys probably don't. Do you guys remember what life was like when there was no internet? Do you remember what that blows my mind. Are you serious? You poor children. I'm so kidding. I'm kidding. Well, I bet you didn't have this. Okay, well, where I grew up, okay, we had three channels, and to dial those things in, it was a pipe wrench outside with Dad yelling, "Keep moving, keep moving, keep moving." Yeah, you don't remember that. You're like, "You're country." Yeah, you're right, I am country. Really, what does this world have to offer? A bunch of gadgets that are outdated. That's it. There's nothing new under the sun. Nada, zilch, zero. It sure does seem like things are radically darkening a bit, doesn't it? We have been given everything through our Lord Jesus Christ. That exchange that was made, we are to be... Paul was ecstatic about it. He got it. He understood it. He was motivated by it. He understood. He saw, I am an ambassador with this wonderful message, and the message that I have is, guess what? There can be an exchange made. No longer do you have to walk around with all that junk. And all one. But here's the thing. The exchange is open for anybody, but individuals have to come to the cross. You know, it's more than just believing that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and it's more than just understanding the gospel. We got to receive the gospel, and see and that's important. Under the culture we live in is very religious in the South. There's a lot of folks that know about Jesus, but that don't mean they necessarily know Jesus. That doesn't mean that they necessarily have made that exchange or come to the place of that exchange where they understand, I'm a sinner. I need you, Lord Jesus. We got to be about the message. The message works. That is how God chose to save men, is by sharing this message. Why do we want to get away from what works? We don't. John Corson writes, and it's just so wonderful what he wrote. Listen, as Jesus hung on the cross, a spear was thrust into him, drawing forth water and blood and opening his side so we might positionally enter in. Jesus opened the way for us through the rendering of his own flesh. That is why we can tell anyone and everyone that they too can be tucked away in Christ. And then God looks at them. He will only see the righteousness of his Son so that they can have a fresh start as a new creation. What a fabulous truth. Guys, let's not forget we're ambassadors for Christ and we have a wonderful message. It's a message of reconciliation. No longer does a person have to be an enemy with God. Folks now can be at peace with God through His Son, Jesus, who died on a cross for sinful men. Jesus took our sin in exchange. We can have righteousness. And what a wonderful message to share with a lost world. Our sins are on Jesus and His righteousness is on us. That's the truth of justification in Christ. And sometime today, this is what I would like all of us to do if you get an opportunity. Okay, just in light of just what we kind of looked at here in verse 21, I'd like you to read Isaiah chapter 53 and just use that as kind of a viewfinder. I know it's a very familiar chapter, but I just ask you, just get along with the Lord. Allow worship to really take place as you're just along with the Lord. Allow Him to just really speak to our hearts about those things. and encourage us in those things. You know, a Christian that's not passionate about the message is a Christian and that is not passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so easy to fall into the mundane. You know, one of the pitfalls, I think, of a Bible-teaching church that goes through the Scriptures, you know, and book by book, line by line, is that we get a lot of knowledge, but sometimes, man, that knowledge doesn't transfer to our hearts. Sometimes we just get puffed up and we want to critique this and critique that and maybe learn that. Instead of just getting back to the simplicity of sitting at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and being in all of the fact that now I have right standing with God. Reconciliation. Now here's something else that I think is just totally for free. If we have been forgiven so much, should we not forgive other people? Should that reconciliation not extend to our brothers and our sisters? You know, I joked around with you and I said, man, I'm country and, you know, I'm from the South. And I kind of grew up in an environment where, you know, people kept a list. You know, you stole from my kin, you know, that type of deal. Some of you get that tagline. And anyway, I'm laughing. and there wasn't a whole lot of forgiveness. Grudge holding, Hatfields and McCoys type stuff. You know, the Lord put it on my heart today to reach out to an uncle I hadn't talked to in 13 years. Because after my grandmother died, my mom's side of the family just nothing to do with each other. Over something really dumb. We're done. Praise God, our Lord doesn't do things like that, huh? So if we've been forgiven so much, I mean, really, what can we not forgive ourselves, right? We ought to just, we got to get it. Okay, let's move on into chapter 6, I'm sorry. This is a wonderful message of reconciliation, but there's also, and I want us to understand this, great responsibility that comes with this message. See, Paul's been defending his life and ministry for the first 5 chapters. His enemies at Corinth accused him of wrong methods and motives, and we see he successfully answered them. And in his final statement in chapter 5, he dealt with the ministry of reconciliation. Now in chapter 6, Paul will make 2 more appeals to the folks at Corinth. The first one is, we're going to start looking at it today, is self-examination found in verses 1 through 10. Which we'll see as a responsibility as an ambassador. That's what we're looking into. And the second appeal will be for separation in verses 11 through 18. But let's just begin to look at the first appeal with the folks at Corinth and what Paul's going to get at. Look at verse 1 and 2. Responsibility of being an ambassador for Christ. And you know, this should not blow us away. Stephen, you have responsibility at your job. You're an employee there for Joy Global, and you have responsibility there. You don't just get to show up there and just kind of, there's Craig has responsibility for Verizon. If you're a mom or a dad, you have responsibility. You can't get away from it. If I go to Walmart, I have certain responsibilities. If I go in there and kick a greeter in the shin, I'm going to get in trouble. I can't do that. I got to act responsibly, right? Why do we think, when it pertains to grace, when it pertains to what we have received, there's no responsibility? Paul says this. First thing we need to understand is about the work, okay, and how it works. He says this in verse 1. We then are workers together with Him. Also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. We're workers with Jesus. Paul saw himself as a co-worker with Jesus. They're partners, and Jesus has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And since Paul is an ambassador for Christ, he understands he is working with Jesus. See, Jesus is not working for us. Let's understand that. And sometimes I think we go about, when we're praying about something, we're trying to get Jesus to work for us. We're asking the Creator of the universe, okay, to get on page with us in our plan. I want to ask you a question. How many times has our plans really worked out that well? We are working together with Jesus. We are partners with Jesus. Now, here's something else to consider in this whole thought process. You mean to tell me the Creator of the universe is asking me to work with him? Does he really need me to get his work done? You think he's wringing his hands in heaven and, well, there's that Johnny guy. I don't know how we're going to get it done. Look at him. He's just kind of stumbling around, being a goofball again, you know. No. He's going to get his work done. But this is what blows me away. He actually asked me as a Christian to partner with him in his work. That changes everything, doesn't it? Before you guys got here this morning, Stephen was up here getting ready, and Joan and Carl were doing things. And my son was following me around, helping me with things. Okay, didn't really need his help, I'm going to be honest with you. He's 4 years old. I mean, his heart's right. He's a good kid. But I didn't need his help. I really needed to get through with what I was trying to get accomplished so I could, you know, move on to real important things. So anyway, so he wanted to help me carry a nasty trash bag. Okay, it's not like it was very heavy, but you know what? As his dad, okay, why don't you come and help me? And he was ecstatic. He wanted to lift the lid off that nasty trash can. As his dad, I'm thinking, don't go wash your hands afterwards. Your mama's going to get on to me, for she knows. And he did that. He helped me go out to the trash dump. He helped me carry styrofoam cups back there so people can have cups of coffee. He helped me carry these others. I didn't need his help of any, but he was so ecstatic to be working with his dad. I wasn't working for him. And you know, as we were doing this, it dawned on me to say, hey, you know what? We're doing this. We're working with Jesus. Because part of working with Jesus is serving his people and in practical ways. You know, people want a good cup of coffee. They don't want to have to go hunt down a cup. People don't want to smell stinky trash. I don't want to smell stinky trash. They don't want to smell stinky trash when they go back there. They want to carry it out to the trash. And you know, just, hey, help me wipe. He was ecstatic. When was the last time we were ecstatic about working with Jesus? Maybe the reason why we're not excited about working with Jesus is because we're too busy trying to get Jesus to work with us. Now, how much of the church is spending their time trying to get Jesus? And you know, it's not that the church by itself can work without Jesus if they got enough coin. But you take away the coin and see how much the church does. Our brothers and sisters overseas, where there's not a whole lot of coin, they're working with Jesus and they're getting a lot of work done. Paul saw himself as an ambassador. He understood that he was working with Jesus and Jesus was not working for him. And remember, he's the king. We're the ambassadors. We're working with the king. As one scholar wrote, listen to this, the picture of ambassadors for Christ found in 2 Corinthians 5:20 is especially helpful in understanding the nature of being workers together with him. An ambassador can rightly be described as working together with his king, yet the ambassador himself has no power or authority or agenda of his own. It is all bound up in his king. Yet the king delegates power and authority to the ambassador and reveals his agenda to the ambassador, and the king expects the ambassador to fulfill the agenda. Now here's another portion of this that just ought to really super encourage us. Who's scared? Who's scared to step out there and take that faith, that step of faith maybe God's calling them to? If God's calling us to do something, let's remember who is working. Let's remember that. Now, my son at 4 years old, I'm going to just be flat honest with you, he'd have had a real hard time carrying that nasty trash bag out to the dumpster. He couldn't have done it on his own. He probably would have drug it a bit, and it probably would have ripped, and it would have got nasty stuff. He didn't have enough. I mean, the ground's built too close to his bottom at this point in time. He didn't have enough to throw it up in the dumpster, you see. But with his dad, even though his dad's not very big either, we can do it together. See, God's calling all of us to do some things. And we've already found out, one, today we're ambassadors. We've been given a message. We need to share the message. So therefore, we should not be in fear of sharing the message. Because if we're working together with Jesus, the creator of the universe, our king, what do we have to be scared about? Nothing. Not only that, Paul says, I plead with you. He's talking to the folks at Corinth. He says this. Remember, we're talking about responsibility. One of the responsibilities is to understand we are workers with Jesus. We're not trying to get Jesus to work with us. The second one is this. He says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Second responsibility of an ambassador is to remember what we have received. God's grace. You know, that word ambassador is kind of a cool name. It's kind of cool. Man, you know, what would happen if we just really kind of I'm an ambassador. Hi, my name's Johnny. I'm an ambassador. You know, and get kind of puffed up about the whole deal. You know what keeps an ambassador from getting all puffed up about his title? Is remembering that he's received something. So, you know, before the Lord ever really started talking about being an ambassador for Christ, he started talking about the process of reconciliation. We're being reconciled to God. Now we've been given this special message because we've received something. Remember, we talked about an exchange that was made. Sin on Jesus, righteousness for us. Jesus' death on the cross produces what? Righteousness. We receive something. Forgiveness of sin. What does Paul mean by saying not receiving God's grace in vain? It means to receive the goodness and favor of God, yet hinder the work of grace in our life. I am so tired of cheap grace. Tired of it. Oh, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm going to keep doing. God's grace is going to cover it. Maybe true. It means to receive the favor of God and fail in what Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul's heart was this: by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. I received grace. Paul's heart was, I received this grace. I'm going to be about the Father's business. I'm going to be moving. I'm going to be working. And we don't work for God's grace. Let's understand that. We don't do that. We work because of God's grace. And there's a vast difference between the two, friends. We share Jesus because we've received Jesus. Paul was about the king's business because he was blown away by the goodness and favor he received from the king. Some folks get saved and then live their lives if they've received nothing. And, well, I question whether or not they've ever been saved. Others act like they're the king and they live as such. Let's remember, we don't just need God's grace at salvation, but we need God's grace for every moment of every minute of every day. It's not just a one and done situation. We need God's grace every day. Now, I'm not talking about us being vessels of perfection because we all fail. I like what Stephen says. He says, you know, let's become sin lessers. All right? But here's the thing. God's not asking us to be perfect. But what He is asking us to do is when we drop the ball, let's own it. Okay? You know what kills relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ? Is not owning it. You know what real authenticity is? Is when we drop the ball, and we know we dropped the ball, we go to our brother and we go to our sister and we say, hey man, I dropped the ball. Would you please forgive me? You know what that produces in someone's character? It produces real humility. And not only that, it shows real genuineness. And when someone's doing that, they're really yoked up with the Lord. And I don't know about you, if someone were to approach me like that, I'm not going to be kicking dust in their face and throwing salt on them and say, well, you know, I'm going to be blown away. My heart's going to melt over that. See, when we understand we receive something, when we understand we receive this grace, we radically act differently. Sometimes, you know what? We look over things. We don't hold things because we understand, you know what? I've been forgiven of so much. Am I really going to hold on to this? Give me a break. Maybe that person just had a bad day. Maybe we look past some things. You know what? I don't know. Maybe that person woke up this morning and their clothes were forgot to put in the washer. That ever happened to you? That's a bummer way to start the day off. You got wet clothes. You got to get to work. You ever wore wet clothes to work? I did when I was single. Or maybe you run out of gas. Or, I mean, there's a whole lot of normal everyday things that can happen that cause people to just get up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe we just grace it over. Maybe we come next to them. Maybe we give them a hug. Maybe we tell them we love them. Maybe we say, hey, how can I pray for you? See, being an ambassador carries some responsibility. We're ambassadors for Christ. We need God's grace every day. Now, here's the question, because that's kind of a weighty subject. Okay? When we start talking about responsibilities and all that, it kind of weights people down, sometimes kind of freaks people. Some folks don't like accountability and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. So here's the question. How do we not receive the grace of God in vain? Because all of us, I believe, are probably asking that question. And live a life that does not hinder the work of grace in our lives. Or fail to do what Paul said his life was like. He labored more abundantly, than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God within me. One simple word. Very simple. Very easy. And every one of us will enjoy doing it. Communion with Jesus. Enjoying Jesus. That's it. You know, don't get over by it. You know, the psalmist says, I delight to do your will, O Lord. Why? Because he delights in the Lord. You know, there's been so many times that I've gone about what God's asked me to do with just a frown on my face and acting like I've got the weight of the world on my shoulders. Instead of getting the cart before the horse, what I should have done is, okay, I just want to soak. I want to enjoy. I want to get focused. I want to just get back to just that touchstone of what I received at the cross of Christ. It changes everything. So don't let it freak you out. Just enjoy Jesus. And you're saying, well, that's so simple. Well, yeah. God doesn't ask us to do overly complicated things, does He? I don't ask my son to do overcomplicated things. Listen to what our King wants from us today. You want to see communion? You want to hear communion? Listen to Psalm 45, verse 1 through 5. The psalmist says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. He's not just checking off a list when he's spending time with the Lord. He's dialing in. He's sitting down. He's hanging out. Oh, I want to hear what you have to say to me today, Jesus. I want to spend some time with you, Lord. Maybe if we're freaked out, we've just gotten away from our Lord. And all God's asking us to do is just come and hang out with me. There should be joy in being an ambassador and sharing this message, not pressure. Okay? Let's keep it simple. Let's just enjoy the Lord. You're asking yourself, maybe, well, how do I do that? Remember what it was like when we first got saved and what that joy was like. The simplicity. Didn't know a whole bunch of stuff in the Bible. Didn't really... All we knew is we were saved. And we wanted to know more about who our Lord is. Let's keep it simple. Guys, when we stay in awe of what we've received, we spend time with the one who we received it from. Simple, simple, simple. Look at verse 2. The last responsibility we're going to look at today. So two things we've looked at right now. We looked at, okay, our number one responsibility is to understand that we are working with Jesus. Okay, He's not working for us. We're working with Him and what He wants to do and how He wants to do it. Number two responsibility was, okay, let's don't receive God's grace in vain. Let's just stay at that place of understanding. We receive something so absolutely wonderful, and it will transform the way we do ministry. Number three, verse 2. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. For He says, Paul's quoting from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8. In an acceptable time I've heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Guys, someone who is responsible is aware of time. Okay? They're aware of time. Now, before there were cell phones, people expected people to be work on time. Now that you have cell phones, you can send a text, you can call. Okay? And it's funny, these young... I don't want to single you guys out. That's just so horrible. I think all you guys, you know what? You guys show up on time for church, actually, earlier. You know what? You're probably in a minority. You know how to be successful at your job? Show up on time and just do your job. Stephen, let me ask you a question. Will that not separate them from the majority of people? That simple thing. Because, see, someone who's responsible is aware of time. Paul wants the Corinthian Christians to have a sense of urgency. And here's why. God has an acceptable time for us to work with His grace. Until Jesus comes back, we work in the now. We share now, we pray now, we give now, we love now, we are Jesus' hands and feet now. We spend time with Jesus now. Some of the folks at Corinth may have not have been saved, so now's the time to get saved. Some of the folks at Corinth were saved, but they might have been wasting their time. Now is the acceptable time. And that's how Paul lived his life in the now. I love Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. Paul is ready. He is locked and loaded because he's living in the now. Who struggles with procrastination? Man, I do. I wished I didn't. I do well with hard deadlines. I really do well with hard deadlines if I know that I know. I don't do well with soft deadlines. I just don't do it. There's some things I don't procrastinate about. I don't procrastinate about mowing the yard or cleaning the house. But there are some things that just are like pulling teeth. And I have found the longer I put it off, the harder it is to get it done. Okay? You might have heard the old saying, you can't push a rope. You can't. Guys, maybe one of our biggest hindrances in sharing the gospel is that we're just procrastinating a little bit. See, because if we get, not everybody's an evangelist, okay? But all of us are folks who can tell people about Jesus. And just being aware, getting over that fear. Well, I don't like talking to strangers. You know what? Remember who's standing right next to us, okay? Remember who's standing right next to us. You know, God's avenue for love to be poured out on a Christ-rejecting world is you and I. And Paul says, now's the acceptable time. Which means that eventually this time is going to wind down and people are going to miss out. We got to get focused. We need to have a sense of urgency. God has said, God has a day of a salvation, and that will not last forever. Every day that closes is one day closer to us going to see Jesus or Jesus coming back. So then it's all about the now. We live in the now. This is not for Christians to be all about ease and comfort and self-focus, even though it's easy to get there, isn't it? It's time for us to get busy for the Lord and to be workers together with Him. Now. It's like the person that feels like they're called to missions, but they, man, everything's just got to... Man, if God's putting that call... Now, I do believe in God's timing. I do believe that. But sometimes we want it... Jesus, we want you to work with us and what's comfortable for us and what fits into our schedule. Instead of, why don't you just work with me and be blown away what I will do with your schedule. Now. Spurgeon said this. Now, you are one of God's chosen. You've been washed in the precious blood of Christ. And now you profess to be a member of His body, a king and a priest unto God. Why methinks He throw the pen away and tear the paper up? Or just when you're about to proceed to extremities with some poor soul who asks your mercy, if you could recollect that you are now, even now, an heir of heaven, methinks you would say, Lord, give me grace to act accordingly to my profession and not stain the character I have assumed. Let now keep upon your mind with regard to your profession and your duty, which it brings now. Guys, we live in the now. And now we are ambassadors for Christ with a message now. Be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ now. Let's be responsible ambassadors now. So some things to remember as we go about this week. And they're good things. They're encouraging things. And seriously, we are to be passionate about our Lord Jesus. And I'm not talking some emotional something or another that's going to just kind of feign. You know, this is a marathon. And I do believe persistence pays off. But man, we ought to be passionate. And these are things to, you know what, to just stir that passion in us. Let's remember the exchange that was made on the cross, our sin for Jesus' righteousness. There was no sin in Jesus. Our sin was placed on Jesus. Okay, that's how reconciliation worked. Number two, we are ambassadors for Christ, and we need to be responsible with the title we have been given and the position that we have been given. We are working with Jesus. We're not trying to spend all of our time to get Jesus working with us. We need to live our life like we've received something, because we receive so much. And not only that, we need to be about now, not later. So you know what? The Lord may be saying, now write that letter. Now make that phone call. Now go have that conversation with that brother or sister and make that right now, not later. Heavy things, serious things, but in the midst of all the heaviness and seriousness, let's remember this, where they spring from. Spending time and enjoying Jesus. Remembering that, you know what, He's right there with us, right beside us. And that ought to just blow us away. Stephen's going to come up and close in some songs. Man, allow the Lord to just put the finishing touches on what He has for us this morning. I'm going to be in the back if anyone needs prayer. I'm just there to pray for you. If you don't know the Lord today, okay, and I don't have to tell you you don't know the Lord, because the Lord's saying, hey, you don't really know me. You know of me, but you don't know me. And God's been speaking to your heart that says, you know what? I need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm in the back and we'll just talk. Okay? Don't leave here without the Lord finishing what He wants to do in our hearts today. What He wants to do in our hearts today.